How are we doing?
Good.
Look at Ephesians chapter 3. I think I'm really blasting out. At least that's the way I hear it. Hey, take care of that. Take care of that. Oh, boy. My main emphasis is going to be on verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And we're going to read some in chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to youward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby ye, when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets of the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. In Luke 10:24, he tells us, for I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. In Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for such a great salvation, and thank you to have believers to rejoice with and praise you for such a great salvation, and it's a gift of God. We thank you for that by your mercy. Give us freedom and ease today to worship you and to understand the word that we have before us. Give me an understanding, and we want to give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, he's talking about a mystery there in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 3. How by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, which, verse 5, in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Now, what is the mystery? And he's going to give it to you right here in verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow believers and of the same body and partakers of his promise by the gospel.
Yeah. Amen.
You know what he's saying here? God all along planned there's going to be one body. You don't have to become a Jew to get into the family of God. A Jew would need to go to Christ, but all in Christ is there's one body, and that's the church.
Amen.
When you're in the church, Jesus has paid your debt.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
You're not paying your debt. You acknowledge that his righteousness is what you're trusting. And if any of you are trusting your own righteousness, you're very foolish.
Right.
You're not good enough.
Right.
And God not only takes your actions, but your thoughts. And in your mind, you're very definitely a selfish person. Self-centered. Most of us are self-centered. We're selfish. And so, how is that acting by love? It isn't. And what we need is to act by love. And that's what God has done. Now, the salvation we have comes from the love of God.
Amen.
It's not that we were righteous. It's not that we paid our debt. It's not that we could pay our debt. We have a God of love that I don't understand, and I don't think you understand either. We have a God of love who paid our debt.
Amen.
I remember that thief on the cross. I don't know whether the preaching, and the only preaching he ever heard, was what they were saying about Christ around the cross. I don't know that he'd ever been in the presence of Christ before then. But we do know that there was plenty of word. When you read the words of the people as they're mocking Christ, he got enough gospel to understand that they believed this guy was claiming to be God in the flesh. the Son of God, Savior of the world, the only one.
Amen.
And you know, wonderful thing, he looked up to him and says, Lord, remember me. Now that's not a sinner's prayer. You ever heard somebody say you got to pray the sinner's prayer? You got to do some other things. You got to be baptized. He didn't get baptized. He didn't join the church. He didn't become a Jew. He didn't become a Christian. And you know what? Jesus makes a statement that blows most of religion right out of the water. Thou shalt be with me in paradise today.
Amen. Praise
you,
Lord.
Wow. Wow. What power. Hanging on the cross, he's dying, and he knows he's going to die. And here's this poor little old thief. I don't know. He probably deserved it. He probably had done a lot of bad things in his life. And he said, thou shalt be with me in paradise today. Now that seemed like almost an impossible thing to do. Here's a man, he's dying, he can't keep his own life as far as the people think. He's been nailed to a cross. He's hanging up there, he's dying at the same light. That was a little bit of faith on that sinner's part.
Yeah.
He was looking up there thinking, this guy does sound real. Praise the Lord. He was real.
Amen.
And what we know now is that Jesus Christ paid the entire debt. You don't pay any of your debt.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. It's a good thing. If you had to pay 10% of it, you probably would fail.
Right.
But, bless your heart, that the Gentiles should be of the same body as the church, as the Jews. You didn't have to become a Jew as some of the Jews thought they had to in those times. But the mystery is the church. We are the mystery.
Amen.
When we're in here, we're not Jew and we're not Gentile. We're Christians.
Amen.
We belong to Christ. We have no right to think any highly of ourselves or very highly of ourselves because we haven't earned anything.
Right.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
You know, the only way you can really have an eternal security is that God does the paying.
Yeah.
We're not saying we're not ever going to sin or we're never going to get in trouble again. But even if we do, we were already saved and born again by the Spirit of God. We're in the church. Our sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And man, we're accepted in the beloved. Now we are sons of God and have eternal life now at
Amen.
This present time. You have eternal life if you're saved.
Amen.
What a wonderful thing. Any part of it that depended upon you could be lost.
Amen.
Do you know that much about yourself?
Yeah.
Well, I want you to know, I don't think you're able, but I think Christ is able.
Amen.
Look at verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Now notice that sentence there. I'm an old English teacher, and when I went to school, we outlined sentences. Subject, verb, object, modifiers, whatever. We drew them in lines. And when I taught English later on, I taught outlining. I understand they don't do it anymore. But I think they ought to. It's just like they're telling me they don't teach cursive writing anymore. I think that's a mistake. In working on my master's degree, when I was looking back at some of the manifests of some of the ships, it was all in cursive writing. And if you don't know the cursive writing, I know that everything's a computer now, even these little bitty 2-inch. I can't type on a computer, much less a little 2-inch phone, you know. But my thumbs are too big. But at any rate, I think it's something else. But anyway, here's one of those sentences that you ought to really enjoy. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That is a big sentence. That is something really to think about. You know what he says? It says he's able.
Amen.
Christ is able.
Yeah.
Well, now let's see if there's any modifiers in the sentence. What's happening here? Well, to do all that we ask or think. That's a big statement. Christ is able to do all that you ask. I remember one time when Brent was young, about 19 around here, and he said, if he was going to ask, he's going to ask big. If you're going to get the answer to a prayer, I want to get it big. And so we drove around San Antonio, claiming San Antonio for Christ, you know, and stuff like that, and asking God big prayers. Well, look what this says. Paul is telling us right now that he can do all that you can ask or think. Isn't that what that says?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about asking too big.
Yeah.
Well, can God heal? Of course God can heal. God can raise from the dead. God can turn everything around. In fact, in the Bible, we find where God stopped the sun.
Yep. Amen.
We find where the axe swam. You ever see an axe swim? I haven't either. I don't think I've seen any axe ever swim. Anytime I dropped the hammer in water, it went to the bottom. And yet God made the axe swim. He stopped funeral processions. Wow. All that you ask or think, isn't that too big? Wouldn't that sort of challenge your faith? You could ask all that I could ask. I couldn't ask too big. But that's what it says. Paul's telling us right here. All that we ask or think. That just blows my mind. But you know, some of the new scientific information that they've come out with, and I trust that they're right, such as this new telescope that's been sent out into space, supposed to be $1 trillion thing, I guess. They were looking for the end. They were looking for the edge. You know what they found out? There's just a lot more. The universe, which is already awful big, in most people's minds, or all the scientific minds, it's a whole lot bigger. I understand that Saturn's got a lot more moons. It amazes me. It amazes me. How big is the universe? How big is God?
Amen.
He's your God. That's what you claim. He's your God. How big is He?
Amen.
How smart is He? DNA, you could take a little pinch out of my finger there and reproduce me completely. They've done it with sheep. That's an amazing thing. Can you imagine that? Has that ever caught your mind? How intricate, how detailed, how complicated everything is. Male and female. It's not just men and women, boys and girls. It's trees and bees and ants and all sorts of things. And if you don't get the pollination through the trees, you don't get the crops. And so we need our bees, and we need our butterflies, and we need a lot of other things that we don't think we need, and we don't even think amount to anything. That's nothing. I tell you what, I walk out and I see an ant, and I go, bye. Yeah. many people, how many ants I hurt by that? Do they have feelings like we have? I don't have an idea, but I don't think they do. Do you ever swat a fly? You ever get a fly go around your face? That bothers the daylights out of me. And I'm not quick enough. I'm not quick enough to get them. How big is God's creation? It's a whole lot bigger than we think. How smart is God? I know there's some smart people that think they're smarter than God and there is no God. And they make some claims and become very famous because of it. God is awful smart. And awful powerful. You know what doctors do? They recognize the human body that heals itself and they work towards making that work. The medicines we have, it just helps our body do what it wants to do first place. I used to say dumb is dirt. But then I got to thinking, dirt's not dumb. Other than it doesn't speak. Dirt is a marvelous thing. Everything you eat comes from dirt. And you're worried about a little dirt on your fork? It might be helping you. It might be improving your whole life, you know. You never know. Linda, when she was a little girl, she would get out in the flower garden, had a little small flower garden in front of the front door, and she would just pick the dirt up and eat it. And I went to my doctor and I said, what should we do about that? He said, I don't know, maybe she needs it. Linda was my healthiest child. Another doctor come along, and when she was in middle school, she ran a needle through her finger and she wouldn't let me pull it out. So I had to go and pay a doctor to pull it out, which I could have pulled it out just as well as the doctor pulled it out. But she did not trust me. No, you know. He didn't even know I had her. The doctor said, where'd you get this girl? She was so healthy that she just didn't have any real problems like that. I guess that dirt did some good. How smart is God? He's pretty smart. He really is. Some of you think you're smart, and I think probably you are. And I'm proud of you if you are. That's great. That's wonderful. But are you smart as God? I don't think you're even in the category. I don't believe they'd let you in for the race. I remember I had an interest in astronomy. Now, I was a poor missionary. I was not a rich missionary. I was a very poor missionary. But when I was in Guatemala, I got a telescope. And it was a pretty good little telescope, but it wasn't one of the big things. It wasn't like the one that that farmer that was telling you about, that dairy man that showed me. It wasn't a 9-inch thing. Cost a little bit of money. But you know, it was very interesting. We were 7,800 feet above sea level in the valley that we were in. That's almost 8,000 feet. That put us up a little better. It was nice to look at that telescope. Now, this new telescope that they've sent out, I haven't seen the pictures from it yet. I've just heard some descriptions. They tell me that the universe just got bigger. A whole lot bigger. So if we get another telescope, which is $1 trillion telescope, and send it out, and it's bigger, will we find the end? How big is God? Have you ever thought about how big is God? God's awful big. Amen. And he pays attention to you? Wow. Wow. The mayor of this town wouldn't pay any attention to me. My own congressman probably wouldn't pay any attention to me. Or you. You go to a doctor's office and he's so important, you got to wait an hour for him. You got to wait on him. He won't wait on you.
Right.
How big is God? And yet God wants to talk to you. One of the biggest doctrines in the Bible is prayer.
Amen.
I am fascinated with prayer. The idea, the very idea that God would offer to do something I would ask him to do. Wow, that's right. Wow. I got to praying and at the end of my prayer I said, Lord, if it's wrong, just cancel out everything because I don't know everything I'm doing. I might be praying for something I really don't need and don't want. And it might be worse than what I've got. Did you ever think like that?
Yes.
Amen. I do sometimes because I tell you the truth, I've lived long enough to know that I don't always make right decisions. I can't think everything through. And yet God gives me an opportunity that I can make my request known to the creator of the universe. He's spoken into existence by Christ. And he wants to live inside of you. That's what your salvation is. You are the abode of God. You are his house. He wants to hear what you think. He wants to forgive your sins, your failures, your disappointments. He wants to heal you and help you. And he tells you, you can actually come into his presence and he will listen to you. That is a big doctrine. If you take by the amount of verses that is given to it, it's one of the biggest doctrines in the Bible. I'm fascinated with it. And every time we see these new telescopes come out, it just makes things bigger. A whole lot bigger. How big is it? I don't think we've come to the end yet. Do you think we can come to the end? Maybe not. Maybe it's too big for you to ever come to the end of it.
Amen.
Now some people have asked me at different times, what are they doing? What are the saints that have gone on doing in heaven right now? They've been dead for 6 months or 9 years or whatever. What are they doing? I don't know. And I had one lady tell me, you're supposed to know. I said, well, I know what the Bible says. And it doesn't tell me. I read the Bible through many times. I can't find the answer to that question. I don't know what they're doing. I don't think they're on cloud nine playing a harp. I don't think they're worrying about you. Now, it seems like that might be a little disappointment in heaven if they knew where you itched and scratched all the time. This verse, verse 20, really, really blessed my heart just recently. Above all that we ask or think. Now, that, first of all, is a really big territory. I've heard some prayers. Have you heard other people pray? They ask for some things. I think, I don't know whether I'd ask for that. All that we ask or think, Christ is able to do. That's a big word. All that we ask, or how about all that we think? And you know what that verse said? He's able. Said he's able to do that. Now, it not only says it's able, but he says all that we ask or think. All of it. You can't ask a prayer too big that God couldn't accomplish. Now, how big does that make God in your mind? It makes him a whole lot bigger than what most of us think about him. God is an awful big God. God is an awful powerful God. God is so complicated, you just can't put him into your computer. All that we ask or think. But now wait a minute. That's not all this sentence says. Above. God is able to go above anything you can ask. You don't ask big enough to tax God. You think you're going to put God to the test, that God's going to have a real problem? You can pray a mighty big prayer and God could do it. Amen?
Amen.
Said all that we ask or think, above all. Oh, wait a minute. The sentence isn't through. Look at it again. Abundantly. That's generous. That's a whole lot. That's more than you can carry out in your car. Abundantly above all that we ask or think. Abundantly? Wait a minute. Sentence not over yet. You didn't read this right the last time you read it. You out over it too fast. Abundantly above, but exceeding abundantly. I've been enjoying this sentence this week. I don't know whether I'm making you enjoy it or not, but I enjoyed this sentence this week. Exceeding. That's a big word. That just stretches things out. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
That's who we're praying to.
Amen.
That's who wrote the book.
Amen.
That's who gave you the promise. That's who said you can have eternal life. That's who said your sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Isn't that amazing?
Amen.
That is an absolutely amazing thing. Now, Jeremiah 32:17 says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth, and by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee.
Amen.
That's what it says.
Amen.
Well, Jeremiah 32:27 then, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?
Amen.
The answer is no.
Right. Amen.
The answer is no. How big is your God? If you take these verses into consideration, he's getting bigger. In your mind, at least. You need to know who you're dealing with. You're not dealing with some little God. You're not dealing with some limited person. Evidently, there seems to be no limit to this God that you and I serve. Wow. 1 Peter 5:6 says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Wow. Yes, every time they come out with a new telescope and they show other things, every time they come out with something like DNA, I don't understand it all, but I am impressed. I am impressed. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, way beyond we ever think about in our own minds. Let us therefore come. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Boldly. Boldly. I sometimes am criticized because of the way I've told that I talk to God. I do. I don't. I was born in Texas on a farm. I was born in a house. Not even born in a hospital. And I don't know anything about bowing to people. I'm not Eastern, and I don't know anything about kings. In the Bible, you see the people bowing and scraping, or you can't even, you risk death if you walk into the presence when you weren't invited or something like that. I don't understand things like that. In my house, it was my house, even though I was the littlest fella in it. It was still my house. I go in and out of the door if I want to. I come in. I walk into the presence of my father or my mother or my sister and boldly ask them what I want. Does your kid speak boldly? I know a lot of them do. Well, he says we can come boldly under the God that is so powerful that he created this universe. And he's able to do anything that you can possibly ask or think. Now these are big, big promises in my mind. Come boldly under the what? Throne of grace. It's not a throne of righteousness at this time. It's not a throne of justice at this time. It's a throne of grace. Do you know what grace is? Oh, that's a beautiful word to me. Once I learned what grace was and knowing that I was going under grace to God Almighty, I knew I didn't stand a chance walking up to God on my righteousness.
Amen.
But grace? Yes, I understand what grace means. Bless your heart. It's something you don't deserve.
Amen.
You're like the thief on the cross. You don't deserve any mercy. You're guilty.
Amen.
You're wicked. You're selfish. You're self-centered. And Jesus said, today. Wow. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Wow. All your religion just went out the window. It's a throne of grace. God, by his grace, allows me to walk into his presence. God, by his grace, at this throne of grace, allows me to ask anything I want to ask. How big is that? Has God got any bigger? Wow. He's an awful big God.
Amen.
Throne of grace. Wow. And why are we going under this throne of grace? Well, Hebrews 4:16 says that we may obtain mercy.
Amen.
I'm not going to the throne of grace to ask for justice. If I got justice, I'd go to hell. And my dear, sweetest little lady in here, you would too. You would too. Because you're selfish. You're self-centered. You don't worry too much about other people's pain, but you sure worry about yours. You don't worry about how they bother some people. You worry about how they bother you. You've got so many scratches and itches and problems and you don't even sleep well. You don't want justice from God. You want grace.
Amen.
And you want mercy.
Yes.
Goodness gracious. That we may obtain mercy. I don't know about you, but this sentence right here is big to my mind. It is just exploring and expanding your opportunity before God. Because God's just that big. Wow. That we may obtain mercy. Well, there again. Not justice. Mercy. I know sometimes when somebody's let you down, you really want to give it to them. But bless your heart, maybe you ought to think about that just a little bit. Have you ever let anybody down? Oh man. How in the world do you stay married? Well, you gotta keep forgiving. That's the only way you stay married. You keep forgiving. We're always letting each other down. We're always saying the wrong thing. We're always doing the wrong thing. We're always wanting the wrong thing. We're all selfish. It's amazing that we can live together so long. But we have to forgive. We have to have mercy. We have to have some compassion. Wow. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Wow. You know something? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Holy Spirit. You know who the Holy Spirit is? It's God. It's God. Yes, we have God revealed to us in three ways, three manifestations. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But in talking about that Holy Ghost that's going to come and live within you, that Comforter that's going to come and live within you, Jesus says, I will come and be with you. You got God in you. God is in you forever. That's why you have eternal life. That's why you're going to make it.
Thank you, Lord.
You're going to make it because God guarantees it.
Amen.
And because it does not depend upon you once you've taken Christ as the payment for your sins. Before God Almighty, it's finished.
Yeah. Amen.
Why wouldn't anybody take that?
Right.
Well, I think if you really understand it, anybody would. Anybody would. Oh, praise God for salvation.
Amen.
Praise God for mercy.
Amen.
Praise God for grace. And by the way, why don't you come boldly? You don't have to crawl around and scratch, and you don't have to cry in tears, and you don't have to back in the door. Why don't you just walk in just like it was your house? Why don't you just talk to God with your eyes open while you're driving down the road? Do you know God listens then just as well as he does when you're on your knees and you have your head bowed? You got stoppers in your ears so the kids don't break up your prayer time. What an opportunity. What an invitation. Do you realize what this is? You are ignoring, most of you are ignoring the invitation of God that he gives you to come boldly into his presence. That's foolish. Why don't you take that verse and put it in your little 3-pound brain and decide, I'm going to talk to God like my best friend. I'm going to talk to God like the best doctor ever was. I'm going to talk to God who's the sweetest person that ever lived. I'm going to talk to God who could do anything. Nothing could be restrained. I don't know about you, but that's an awful big verse.
Amen.
It is for me. That red songbook you've got there was edited by John W. Peterson. John W. Peterson was a World War II pilot. He flew a bunch of missions in World War II. He got out of the Air Force and became a songwriter and a song leader in churches and whatever, and a writer of many things, and that's just one of his things. One of his songs one time that just blessed my heart. And in fact, I've told you the story about Jess Marlin in Blanket, Texas. This was the song that the song leader sang the night Jess got saved. It took a miracle. John W. Peterson, 1948. My Father is omnipotent, and that you can't deny. A God of might and miracles, 'tis written in the sky. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. Took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, took a miracle of love and grace. Though here his glory has been shown, we still can't fully see the wonders of his might, his throne, 'twill take eternity. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. Took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, took a miracle of love and grace. The Bible tells us of his power and wisdom all the way through. And every little bird and flower are testimonies too. It took a miracle to put the stars in place. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, he took a miracle of love and grace. I think he made the right move. It took a miracle. That miracle is you. God, on every single one of you that's saved, did a miracle. He gave you a life, his life. And he gave you access to him boldly. You come looking for mercy. You're not coming looking for justice. You come looking for mercy. You come looking for love. You come looking for forgiveness. You come looking for grace. Wow. How big is your God? God, forgive us of our thinking, our reasoning, our selfishness, our pride, our foolishness, our sins. God, help us to enjoy your presence. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.